This is a Cincy Fan Talking with LP. You can catch me on Twitter. That's a Cincy Fan Talking. You say it like it sounds, just leave off the G. If you have ideas for the show, you can reach me at Cincy_FanTalk@yahoo.com. If you have any suggestions for the show, make sure you leave them there. Who knows, you might find yourself as part of the show. Any feedback would be definitely appreciated. And also, make sure you hit the Linktree page that's on my Twitter. Make sure you click on that. You can find all the different ways to contact me there. Enjoy the show. What's up, podcast land? What's up? What's going on? And welcome to another episode of A Cincy Fan Talking with LP. And of course, this is yours truly, LP. Hope y'all feeling good. Hope y'all devoured all the turkey. Learned in my classes that it's a lot of kids that don't like turkey, y'all. You know, to each his own. I feel them. A lot of people saying they deal with the roast on Thanksgiving. They deal with the ham and whatnot. I'm like, I thought that was more of a Christmas thing. But, you know, do you? Because we ate a lot of turkey around these parts. Deep fried the turkey. I'll get into all that in a second. Hope everybody feeling good. Hope everybody, you know, restful and safe and healthy and whatnot. And not in fake depressed mode like your boy over here. After watching Ohio State get... what's the word? Mollywopped. Just straight smacked all over the place at home by Michigan. We're going to jump into my feelings about that. We're going to talk about how the Bengals out here getting dubs. Talk a little Bearcats, you know. Talk about that good stuff. Also talk about an awesome anniversary. And I might even get a quick review of Black Panther in. Told y'all I was going to do it. I think I figured out a way to do it with no spoilers. So, it's a lot to do, and y'all know I don't like to take up too much of y'all time, so let's go ahead and jump into it. The short and the long of Saturday. I'll give you the short part first. Ohio State got smacked. My Buckeyes got smacked. I'm not afraid to admit it. I was on Twitter just letting folks know, like, look, I don't have no excuses. If you're a Buckeye fan and you came here to get excuses to make you feel better, I don't really have those. Like, I kind of call it like I see it because I'm a sports fan. You know, I'm a Buckeye fan till I die. But I'm a sports fan. And if my squad gets smacked, I can admit it. I'm like, you know, we'll be back at some point. But no, like, the short of it, it wasn't a good day. The first half was awesome. It really looked like we were about to take the dub. It looked like it. The second half was a completely different animal. And now I'm getting into the long, because that was the short. Ohio State got smacked. For me, it came down to two things. And y'all, it came down to two things. Thing number one is this. You got people like me and alumni of the school, you know, our whole house. We bleed scarlet and gray. And you got so many people all year in these young boys' ears, like, you know, y'all gotta win. And that's the nature of being an Ohio State football player or an Ohio State basketball player, an Ohio State field hockey player. You gotta beat Michigan. Facts. Flat out. And I feel like you could tell, like, if you walked in our house during the second half of the game, we were up and it was tense in the house. Like, you could feel the tension because we were up three, but it felt like the bottom was about to fall out. Everybody was tense. The way we felt was the way the Buckeyes looked on the sideline. They looked so tense. And I feel like, and this is true, the Buckeyes played not to lose the game. And you could tell in the play calling that Ryan Day was doing. you got one of the best offenses in the nation. And you're not going for it on 4th and 3 in Michigan territory? Come on, man. Like, be for real. 4th and 6, 4th and 3, 4th and 5. When it was 1st and 35 and they called a run play, which was absolutely bananas. And they get all these yards back and now it's 4th and 5. And you down like 11 and you don't go for it? I just don't get that. Like, I really don't. The play calling, you can tell when a team is playing to win versus when a team is playing not to lose. I've had teams, I mean, I had a team when we had a playoff game, and this is just middle school basketball squad. We're supposed to pace this team. We're supposed to beat them. We're like the top seed. They're like, I don't know, the worst seed in the tournament. We're supposed to beat them. Nobody's taking them seriously. The kids are playing not to make mistakes. We in halftime and we down 5. And I'm looking at the fellas and I'm like, so what, we scared to lose? Y'all scared to lose? No, we don't lose. I'm like, nah, chill out. Everybody lose. You got to understand that. In this game, in real life, everybody takes an L sometimes. It's going to happen. Mr. Parker, why are you saying that during the game? Because you can't be afraid to lose, man. You can't be out here not shooting the ball because you might miss it, or not passing the ball to somebody because it might not get there. You gotta trust yourself. And I'm telling the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders this. In halftime when we down 5, I'm like, look, losses are gonna happen, but you cannot walk off the court saying, oh, if I would have did this, we'd have won. Oh, if I would have shot the ball, we would have won. Or if I would have played better defense, we would have won. You can't go through life like that. You can't go through this game like that. You got to go for it. And if you lose, if you take an L, at least you can say, hey, man, I balled out. Like, for real, I balled out. They was just better. If you can say that, you won. And I'm telling them this. Like, if you can say, I put it out there and they just got me, you will never lose. And I hope they remember that message. I really hope that stuck with them. It doesn't matter what you do. If you go hard, you're not a loser. Even if the scoreboard say you took an L, you can go out and go like, man, I went out like a champ. Like, I balled out. Did you see me balling out there? They just got me, man. Everybody will respect that. And I feel like that's what makes the Ohio State losses a little bit tougher to take, because you can tell they didn't leave it out on the field. And when I say they didn't leave it out on the field, the coaches kind of took it out of their hands so that they couldn't. So that's the first thing for real. You had a squad that was afraid to lose. Oh, Michigan, on the other hand, they played loose. They played free. Man, these jokers out here calling pass plays where the 3rd, 4th string running back, who was a linebacker, takes the ball, walks 2 steps up and jump passes it to the tight end. They having fun out there. Like, real talk. They like, look, man, if we take an L, we going to take an L like some champs. Ohio State didn't do that and they paid the price. Like, I talk mess about Michigan all the time. Like, I don't like them. But you got to respect the way they came out there and did their business. They took Ohio State's best shot. They rolled out. It was like, you know what? We winning this game. And it's messed up that Ohio State, especially the coaches, took it out of their hands. And you'll see the message boards. You'll see Twitter lighting up like Fire Ryan Day. And real talk, when you roll out a performance like that, when you can't look your squad in the eye and say, hey, we left it out on the field, when you can't do that, you got to expect to hear those calls. Which leads me into the second thing. Chill out with the Fire Ryan Day. Like, chill out. Calm down with the Fire Ryan Day. You go through this man's resume since he's been at Ohio State. It's nothing but wins. It's nothing but W's. and a loss to Oregon and a loss to Clemson and two losses to Michigan. And I feel like that's about it. That's it. Those are all the losses that Ohio State has endured under Ryan Day. And if you're saying, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. He got to beat Michigan. Like, you talking to LP. If you telling me that I don't understand how important it is for Ohio State to beat Michigan, you must not have listened to the pod before. Like, this is the same guy that you listening to that was on campus, like, doing my day-to-day, friends with some of the players when we were losing year after year after year to Ohio, to Michigan. John Cooper went 2-10-1 against Michigan during his tenure at Ohio State. And I was on campus for, like, probably 3 or 4 of those L's. I mean, we had teams that was, like, extra dope, y'all, like, undefeated. And you could just feel this tension around campus come big game time. You could feel it, like, man, we got to win, we got to win, we got to win. And I feel like it's up to the coaches to kind of let them know, like, look, we know how important it is to beat Michigan. Like, that's the goal, beat Michigan. But at the same time, you can't go out here and play all tight. You can't do that. You got to go out here and be loose and be free and understand that if you play the way that you play, we're better than them. And I don't feel like the coaching staff conveyed that for real. However, Ryan Day is 1-2 against Michigan. That's 3 games, y'all. That's 3. And real talk, we'd probably be 2-2 had we played that game in 2020. No cap, just saying. But 1-2 is 1-2. You can't count the games you didn't play. That's ridiculous. Chill out with the fire, Ryan Day. If you upset about the play calling, if you upset about the quote-unquote soft mantra or whatever, I get that. But you can't let a coach of Ryan Day's credentials go without proving himself. 3 games is not enough time to prove himself, y'all. It really isn't. Why are you defending him? Not defending him. That was piss poor coaching that we saw in the second half. And it was really disappointing because Ryan Day is the guy that makes the adjustments in the second half. So I guess this will lead into my 2.5 part before I drop this whole Ohio State thing. I distinctly remember Urban Meyer literally saving plays to use against Michigan. This guy had an entire Michigan package that he would not roll out until Michigan came to town. We don't see that with Ryan Day. That's so frustrating. Jim Harbaugh got popped by Urban Meyer so many times. He remembered that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he remembers the feeling of, like, thinking he knows what Ohio State is going to do, you know, run, run, run. Then Urban come out and pass the first 20 times on the field. Ryan Day comes in and he's like, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, and I'm just doing it. You got to switch it up sometimes, yo. Like, you really do. But, you know, I ain't going to really beat a dead horse too much. I was salty for about 5-10 minutes on Saturday. Then after that, it was birthday party time for the almost 10-year-old. So the only thing I was really salty about was that it just looked like the coaching staff was playing not to lose. That was my one real gripe, and the fact that they lost. Hopefully, Ohio State can make it to the college football playoff. And I know a lot of people like, man, I don't even want to see it. Man, I want CJ Stroud to get another shot, man. For real. I feel like he's a really good quarterback. But he needs the stage to be great. And he kind of, I won't even say he blew his chances. He played really well both times against Michigan. Defense didn't hold up his end of the bargain. So, hopefully it worked out. I got to wait an entire year and listen to all the Michigan people in my mentions. Hit me up. Like, people I know sending me text messages. I gotta eat that, man. Like, there's nothing I can say. I can't be like, well, what we do to y'all for the past 20 years? I could, But it's really just sour grapes because it's all about the last one. And they took the last two, so I gotta eat that. Ouch. And I can take solace in the fact that the Bengals out here putting up numbers and running it up against pretty much everybody. So I did the pod like 2 months ago. Bengals was 0-2. I'm telling everybody, relax. People hit me up in my feed like, dude, the Bengals trash. They 0-2. I'm like, chill out. Calm down. Like, we got this. Looky here. 7-4. About to go on the road with the Chiefs coming into town. I told y'all for now, we keeping Bengals talk to about 6 minutes unless something big happened. I can make this even shorter for real. So, check it. The Bengals play the Chiefs. There's no template to beating the Chiefs for real. Well, there is one, and the Bengals pulled it off really, really well. It was really the way Michigan beat Ohio State for real. The Bengals did the same thing against the Chiefs. You sit back. You let them do the dink and dunk stuff. You don't let anything go over your head. And you force Mahomes to check down. Making a check down kick. Stop the run. Make him check the ball down. He gets the ball inside of the 20. You stop him. You make him kick field goals. That's really what won the game for the Bengals. Both games they played against the Chiefs. The Chiefs put up numbers in the first half. Zach Taylor switched it up. Lou Anarumo switched it up. Second half, those big shots wasn't down there. I feel like it's going to be a little tougher to do that now because you don't have a Tyreek Hill to zoom in on. So you got to watch Travis Kelce. And they got a lot of number two receivers that's getting it done. But, I mean, it's the Chiefs, so you expect that. This can go either way. However, I got the Bengals with the win 27-24. I feel like Evan McPherson to get another field goal. Bengals walking out 8-4. I mean, it's just how I feel. I feel like the Chiefs are on the roll, but you can't roll forever, especially in this league and especially on the roll. So I got the Bengals 27-24. I feel like they'll probably lose one or two more games this season, which would put them 11-6 or something like that. So we'll see how it go. I like how the Bengals kind of pick themselves up off the mat. For you got to respect that. I mean, you know, you could have called it a day. You down 0-2. It's looking like everything's lost. But, hey, we got number 9, man. We got Joe Burrow. And a lot of other teams don't. So that's what it is. 27-24 Bengals. We'll see how that go. And we're going to hit y'all up in a second, y'all. We're going to be right back. You got a Cincy fan talking with ALP, and we'll be right back.
Hi. Hi. I'm Princess and I'm Queen. This is Daddy.
You have to say, and this is a Cincy fan talking with ALP.
And this is a Cincy fan talking with ALP Daddy.
Nice job.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the pod. You got a Cincy fan talking with ALP, and of course, this is ALP. And 40 years ago, you can say 40 years ago this week, November 30th, 1982, Michael Jackson dropped Thriller, dropped an absolute bomb on the world, and the world has not recovered since. 9 tracks, about 42 minutes of absolute fire. So Sirius XM, they got this this Michael Jackson channel. By the way, Sirius, I know y'all listen. I know y'all listen to the pod. Probably not. But if you got a friend that got a friend that got a friend that listen to it, let me tell y'all something. Elvis Presley got his own channel on Sirius XM. Right? How Michael Jackson not have his own channel? Why is this only for a limited time? Prince does not have his own channel on Sirius XM where they play Prince and Prince-influenced music. Michael Jackson does not have this channel either. But I scroll through and it's some crazy folks that got their own. And I'm not saying crazy in the sense that they shouldn't. I mean, I think Garth Brooks got one. I mean, he got that. Like, yeah. But the fact that Prince and Michael Jackson does not have their own channel where you can hear Michael Jackson and Prince music, that's crazy. Like be for real. I'm flipping through. I'm like, he got one. He got one. Aerosmith got one. Like, they deserve. They legends. Like, 100%. I'm not saying bump them. I'm saying make room. How you making room for Michael Jackson? Like, say what? Michael Jackson is his own room. Like, Prince is his own room. It's, that just kind of hit me. Because Sirius XM made one of their channels the Michael Jackson channel for a limited time. I think it ended like this week or something. Absolute travesty. But they had this special on the channel and it was called A Deeper Look into Thriller. And man, I learned so much stuff. My wife is the absolute music fiend over here. Probably be writing for the Source of Vibe or something like that. I don't know. She didn't even know some of this stuff. Like, did you know that James Ingram wrote PYT? I'm like, dude, mind blower. Absolutely not. I did not know that. Did you know that Thriller wasn't even supposed to be a single? I heard that, like, make it make sense. Apparently, from the Deeper Look people, I think it's Stephen Ivory that did it, does a tremendous job. You see him on like the Unsungs on TV One and stuff like that. Amazing music historian. He was saying that originally Thriller wasn't supposed to be a single that got released. CBS really didn't want to do it. However, they noticed that some of the music sales for the album were dropping. So Thriller was one of the, it might have been the last single that was dropped on that album. There were nine songs on the album, nine tracks. Seven of them were singles. And they were all monsters. Thriller was, I want to say it was the last one. And it was really done to just kind of boost the record sales up. And then when it dropped, it was absolutely amazing. And sales went through the roof, which is what CBS wanted. But they didn't even want to do it at first. I'm like, dude, the stuff you learn. It's amazing how so many things happen off, not really mistakes, but things that we hear and stuff that we kind of take is like for granted. Half of that stuff wasn't even supposed to happen. It took visionaries to kind of push it through and go like, nah, you don't see the vision. You don't understand what this is supposed to be. And I just feel like that album broke. It broke so many barriers. Not just for Black folks, because it definitely did. But it broke barriers for the genre of R&B. It moved pop to another level. It moved music videos to another level. Never have you seen the cinematography that you saw on Thriller until Thriller. Now you see music videos and they look like movies and they have part ones and part twos and part threes. All of that is based on Thriller. If you're like influenced by rock and roll, Eddie Van Halen was the guitar on Beat It. Like, crazy, man. Like, he had something for everybody. He had the rock. He had the ballads. He had the R&B. It's a musical masterpiece. And his album before that was Off the Wall. And that was a musical masterpiece. And I feel like most people voted for Thriller. And pretty much everybody that left a comment said, I would pick Thriller because Off the Wall has two tracks that are skippable. You know how crazy that is? On two awesome albums, there are two skippable songs total. And most people vibe with Off the Wall because, you know, that was his solo project. It was one of his first ones. And that introduced the world to Michael Jackson as a solo artist. So a lot of people just have an affinity to that. They'll go like, you know, Thriller was his best album. But I rock with Off the Wall because that's when Mike Jack kicked down the door and went like, look, this me. Like I'm Off the Wall. Like, I'm that guy. It's just weird how Michael Jackson just didn't look arrogant. But when you listen to the songs, like, I always tell people this. If you want to be great at something, you got to be a little arrogant. Like, think about it. It takes a little bit of arrogance for you to step out and go like, I want to be great at something. Real talk. Like, I low-key consider myself a great teacher. It's a little bit arrogant for you to go like, I want to be the best at what I do. And people can be like, they can kind of like downplay it and go like, no, I'm just trying to help people. You know, I'm just out here because, you know, I feel like this is my calling. And that's cool. Understood. I get that. But if you really want to be great at your craft, I'm not saying you got to be like an absolute jerk or something like that. But it takes a little bit of bravado to be like, look, I'm better at this than a lot of people give me credit for. I'm really, really good at what I do. I'm so good at what I do that I'll even do my work outside of my work. When I'm talking to you, I might be thinking about how to do my work better. It's not one of those signs of arrogance that makes you go like, look, I don't want to be around this cat. It's one of those signs of arrogance that pushes people to be better. And when I say arrogant, that's what I mean. Like, I want to be so good at what I do that you look at me and go like, you know what? I think I can be better at what I do too. I think that's Michael Jackson. That was the gift that Michael Jackson gave everybody. He's like, look, I'm not about to sit up here and rub people's face in my talents or nothing like that. But when you hear what I do, like when you hear me sing, you're going to kind of be like, dang, like he is so good at what he does that it makes me want to be better at what I do. I feel like that's the gift Michael Jackson brought to the world. I was about to say something dumb. Y'all about to be like, if you haven't heard Thriller, ha ha, ha ha ha. That's just crazy talk. Man, hop on Spotify, hop on Apple Music, hop on Tidal, wherever you get your music. And just download Thriller one time for the one time, man. Listen to it all the way through. Don't jump to your favorite song. And don't listen to it out of order either. Start from, I think it's The Girl Is Mine. I think that's the first, that might have been the first single he let out. But start from the first song and just let it play. Man, I think Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder are like some of the few artists where you can just hit their playlist and just let it play for a whole vacation drive. You can realize just do that. Just hit like a Stevie Wonder song and it just let Stevie Wonder songs or Michael Jackson songs just keep playing. Like it's amazing how some artists are just like that good at their craft. So listen to Thriller one time for the one time. You know, do it this week in honor of. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and do that for me. And before we roll out, go see Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Like, go see it. I told y'all before about my first dance with superhero movies. A very brief recap. They were never my thing growing up. Wasn't really into Batman and Superman and all that stuff. I mean, my brother was a huge comic nerd. He was always on that stuff. Me, I'm like, eh. Show me the sports. Give me a book, a real book, not a comic book. And then last day of school one year, the kids went to go see Iron Man 3 class field trip. They were like, Mr. Parker, you gotta go. Saw it, fell in love with Iron Man. I kind of been on the movie superhero thing ever since. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever is an amazing movie. And normally sequels and stuff, especially when you're talking about superhero movies, you can tell if it's done right almost immediately. You can usually tell within the first 10, 15 minutes or so, I've learned. Wakanda Forever will grab you from the beginning and it won't let go. Look, I don't cry in movies. I really don't. Like I said, no spoilers. I don't cry in movies. But the first 10 minutes of Wakanda Forever almost got me, y'all. Like, it almost got me. I'm sitting there with the kids and the wife, and I'm like, I'm getting a little misty in here. Like, I'm looking around. Now, it was like 10:30, 10:45 in the morning, y'all. It was early. It wasn't empty in there. Like, it was close to capacity. It wasn't like we couldn't find a seat. You know, you order tickets ahead, you gotta be smart. But we walked in and nobody was there. About 10-15 minutes later, it was a lot of people in there, and you could hear people doing the little sniffle thing when they cry. You could hear them doing that, and I'm looking around and I'm like, yo, who cut the onions up in this piece? Like, it was really touching. I heard one of the people attached to the movie said that the movie, it was kind of a tribute and a love letter to Chadwick Boseman. And it really did play out like that, y'all. It was something to see. I give you one big positive, and I guess you can call it a small negative, but it's a negative, so I'm going to put it out there. Like I said, no spoilers, all right? I figured out a way to do this with no spoilers, so I think I got it. My thinking, and I know a lot of people's thinking as well, is your superhero movie is only as good as the villain. If you can't understand where the villain's coming from, like if the villain, he kind of looks like, what are you here for? Are you just here to fight? Your superhero movie is going to be a little trash. However, if you build a backstory for your villain and you can almost get people to sympathize with the villain, you got yourself a hell of a movie. And let me tell y'all something. Let me put this out here. Wakanda Forever had themselves a hell of a movie. And I didn't think they'd be able to pull it off. Like, introducing a whole new villain and being able to, like, help us understand why the villain is who he is and what motivates them to do what they do and make us feel empathy and make them low-key crazy. I didn't think they'd have enough time. It helps if your movie's 2 hours and 41 minutes, which this is. So make sure you pee first, like I'm just saying. But the villain in this was absolutely amazing, y'all. Like, just crazy with it. The stuff that he was doing, his mannerisms, his backstory, like, it was absolutely amazing. And it made the movie worth seeing, like, 1,000 times. And you already knew you was going to get, you know, Letitia Wright and all the folks that was in it before. You already knew they were going to be there. But to add this villain and to make him who he was made this an amazing movie. Like I said, no spoilers. Can't tell you what he was and what he did and all that stuff. Even the time frame wasn't a negative. I thought 2 hours and 41 minutes would make this movie unbearable. Like, I really thought that. I'm like, man, we're about to see it for almost 3 hours. Man, I'd rather be driving. But it didn't feel like 2 hours and 41 minutes. You look up and you're like, dang, I think this movie about to end. Like, it flies by. That's how you know it's a good movie. There's only one kind of sort of bad part. And I don't think this is a spoiler because, you know, Ross, you know, the white guy. And it's weird to say, like, in this movie, there's not many white people. I'm just saying. But Ross, in the first movie, his role kind of sort of felt useless because it's like, we know why you're here, but we don't really know. We know why you're fighting, but you didn't really have to be in the movie. Take his role in the first movie. Take how much he meant to the first movie and chop that in half. And then chop it in half again. And then chop it in half again. Like, it felt like he was in the movie for the same reason that black people used to be in all of these type of movies before. To have one person of a different color in the movie. That's what it felt like. It's weird saying that because I can't ever remember saying or thinking that in reverse. But they, real talk, they did not develop his character well in this movie. It almost, like, every time he popped up on the screen and his part of the story popped up, it felt like the movie, like, it felt like somebody hit the brakes on the movie. It was like he was there for us to take a breath. You can go like, what we just saw was crazy. Let's go ahead and chill out for a minute and watch this. That's what it felt like. His part really, I don't know. The way they tied it together at the end didn't even make sense. It was the one flaw in the movie. If they took out all of his scenes, except for one, the movie still would have been amazing. The fact that he really doesn't play a part in this movie, but he's there anyway, it doesn't detract from the movie. It's just one of those things that you think about at the end and go like, why was he here? I don't know. This was a great movie. That's basically what I did. Like, in thinking back on it, that's really the only negative. Like, it was like affirmative action in reverse. I don't know. Like, that's just weird to say because that's happened to, like, black people in roles for so long. Man, I remember in college, we got so juiced up to see Scream 2, y'all. Like, our whole clique. Man, I'm about to date myself, but it's whatever. Like, so if you listen, you're going like, huh, what? I was on campus a long time before you was, all right? So they had I think they still had a Lennox up there in Columbus, like real close to campus, not on campus. Man, you know, these jokers got like a movie theater right on campus now. Like, it's right on High Street. The jealousy and envy in my heart when we dropped our kid off at school and we see a whole movie theater. Like, we used to have to take the 84, like, and stand there waiting for the bus. Look, if I sound bitter, it's because I am. Like, I'm just saying. I digress. Scream 2 was dropping out. And on the movie trailer, they had Omar Epps and Jada Pinkett before she was Jada Pinkett Smith. They had them right on the movie trailer. Like, they played an integral part in the movie. We was geeked up. Like, okay, let's go. And Elise Neal was on there too, but we really didn't know who she was like that for real. Not for real. She was awesome in the movie. We just didn't really know her like that at first. But we saw Omar Epps and Jada Pinkett. We was like, man, it's about to go in. We bought our high concessions because they was high back then too. So we bought our concessions and, you know, it's like 9 of us sitting there waiting for the movie to start. And we like, yeah, we representation. Let's go. Man, Jada Pinkett and Omar Epps got offed before the big word Scream came up. Scream 2. Before the opening credits popped up. Man, they was sliced up and diced up. He was like, man, dude, not again. And we should have known because it's a horror movie. We not lasting that long in horror movies. Like, it just don't happen for us, man. Not for real. It felt like that in Black Panther Wakanda Forever, but only with the white guy. It doesn't detract from the movie. I personally feel like it's not like he shouldn't have been in the movie. It's like there were ways to tie his story into the movie better. Because they did that in the first movie. I mean, they could have showed him more, but he could have played more of a part in the first movie. And if they weren't going to use him for real, they should have just not put him in the movie. But hey, you got your check, so I wouldn't even trip. That was really the only, it's not even a bad part of the movie. That was one of the parts of the movie that I would say they could have fixed. Overall, we got our, I think I'm switching my thing from like, I don't know, mics to remote controls. Like, so I'm giving this the full 5 remote controls. The Cincy Fan Talking remote control system, they get all 5 of them. If I could add another one and make it a 6 out of 5, I would. That's how good this movie is. It's supposed to drop on Disney Plus at some point, but I figure they want all that dough. They want the long dough, so it might be a while before we get it on Disney Plus. But I will be rewatching that. Me and the kids, all of us, we all going to end up watching that again and again and again. And definitely think you should too. Strong recommendation. And we are out for this week. Make sure you hug the people you love. Make sure you high five the people that you see. Try to give out more high fives than you get. That's really the goal. That's what Barney Stinson said. So, you know, try to live by that. Life is good, y'all. See y'all next week. Peace out.
If you're not ready for the conversation to end, I'm not either. Make sure to catch me on Twitter. That's the Cincy Fan Talking. Leave off the G at the end of it, and we can keep the conversation going. Also, don't be afraid to hit that subscribe button so you can catch the next episodes. The episodes will drop every Tuesday. If there's a change in that, I'll make sure to let you know. Appreciate the support. As always, life is good.